I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, I'm John Holmes, and this is the podcast that hunts down the one show to make it pay for its crimes. We're a bit like Nazi hunters, to be honest, and you can thank us later. This is part two of this week's ep, so if you haven't already, why not go back and listen to part one first? With me, Mark Haynes and Beth Granville. But the Commonwealth Games coverage in the in these episodes. Firstly, last week we were talking about one of the guests who was doing Hugo Monnier, wasn't it? Who was doing the velodrome. For sport relief,
yeah.
On a bike. And he came onto the one show to talk about that in some detail. And what did we get this week? The same man on the same bike in the velodrome telling us the same thing.
The celebrities will be competing in two teams, red and blue. And as you can tell, they're eager to start.
I don't like cycling, if I'm honest. I'm a runner any day. So this is terrifying.
The last time I rode a bike, probably yesterday, in actual fact, but it was a Brompton, so nothing like this.
Helen Glover, Dermot Murnaghan and Hugo Monnier learning how to do pursuit cycling on the curved velodrome, but they didn't even really show them on the actual curved thing.
Just
they showed
the flat
them
bit.
Walking in, going, this is going to be difficult. Everyone talked about it for a bit, and then it ended. They kept on showing us in these two shows stuff that wasn't ready. So they would sort of go, we're going to go to the Commonwealth. We're going to show you some of the, but we can't show you the stage. So we're just going to keep it on some chairs and you won't get to see a thing of it because it's not ready. But do you know what? In 2 days' time, you can see that.
You can see the crowds are starting to pour in because tonight is the big one. Well, it's the big one before the big one because tonight is the dress rehearsal before that opening ceremony on Thursday night when the eyes of the world are going to be here on Birmingham. And a little bit later on in the programme, I'll be giving you a little sneak preview of what you can expect. Some of the dancers, some of the costumes.
They did the same with this sport relief thing. And they were going, if you want to see that, you can watch it on Jermaine's show that he's presenting. The Sport Relief All-Star Games 2022 Champions. I mean, how could you not come up with a better title than that, right? Number one. But why are we watching this non-piece of a show that's upcoming, like an official previews channel?
Yeah. What it was, I was thinking, why are these shows so dull? Even though we know the one show's dull and unwatchable, that's why we do this. But it was just, there was nothing happening. And I think it's because they replaced all of the films they take off the shelf, you know, about wildlife in ponds or seaweed or whatever the hell it might be, with just coverage of things that aren't ready yet.
Yeah.
I mean, the one show is the very definition of something that's not ready yet, even though it's been going for about 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, what, next year, presumably, like they're going, well, last year we showed them walking into the arena before they did the training. Next year, it's just going to be sitting in an agency, watching the celebrity booker trying to book people. It's going, oh, he doesn't want to do it. Okay, no, fine. You know, you can just keep on going, showing us behind the scenes, getting further and further away from any actual content.
And you know what it was full of as well? That television that I absolutely hate, where you know before the cameras have gone live, it's fake locals enjoying themselves, right? Yeah. And they did this a hell of a lot in here. So right at the beginning of one of the episodes, when Richie is in Birmingham, he's got a group of people behind him. Director's handbook, page one. It's like, right, get a crowd in front of the camera behind the presenter, and when he urges them to, they've got to do some cheering to show there's some energy. So Richie just went, are you ready, to this crowd, and you know, and they all just cheered loudly, and then they held it too long, so the crowd, it's the most unnatural cheer. They're going before they cut back to the studio.
But most importantly, are you guys ready?
Yeah. That's an excited bunch there.
I hate forced crowds. You know, if you go to like a TV recording or something, and I went to something not that long ago. Oh, it was a recording of somebody's, it was an hour Edinburgh show, right? And it was being filmed. And this guy comes out and he's like, right, can everybody laugh for me really loud? No, tell me a fucking joke. Everyone laugh. So it's like, don't just go, right, cheer. It's like, well, no, say something rousing so that everybody cheers. Like, hey, we're going to get the Tories out next year. And everyone goes, hey, you got like a really authentic, like great big cheer.
This like, whole podcast has been a part of the political broadcast on behalf of Beth Granville, hasn't it?
Sorry about this. I've made it very political. This. Yeah, sorry.
We're like, not the one show. We don't need balance. It's fine.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's why we are the balance. But like, yeah, I just don't like that forced crowd stuff. I find it so uncomfortable.
And I love the fact that Lenny Henry wasn't sure whether when he did his thing, he should go old school Lenny Henry and really be messing around with the crowd and the cameras and playing about and being playful, or being Sir Lenny Henry, the esteemed actor. And that again was an unsure bit where he wasn't quite sure which he was going to go for at any given moment. So he was doing a bit of photo bombing, but then standing back and looking quite serious and talking about the wonders of Birmingham. And that was really eggy as well. The whole thing is just a horrible mess.
Sir Lenny Henry, we're actually playing the clip now of you running through the finish line. Can you talk us through that moment?
Well, I didn't quite run. It was a leisurely stroll. Lots of people wanted to say hello. There was a lot of selfies going on in Birmingham. And could you do this? It's not for me, it's for me gran. Can you take it, please? My arms aren't long enough. There was a lot of that going on. And but it was lovely, and then the confetti cannon went off and I was scared that I was going to swallow some and choke have to go to hospital. And then I got to the stage and it was so lovely. And your man welcomed us.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful to be here. And he really felt loved, you know. My family are watching this and I'm so chuffed to be here. Very, very proud.
And that bit when Richie, again, in Birmingham with Lenny Henry, and they're live on BBC One on a primetime show, and they've obviously set it up. And he turned to the crowd, didn't he? And he just went, and we're going to get the party started. Start the music. And nothing happened. And then the camera stayed on too long. And they cut back to the studio. Alex had to go, well, they're still waiting for the music. Just awful. Awful.
I live for stuff like that. I love it.
Sir Lenny Henry. And we'll be speaking to him very soon. There he is. All right, Len, how are you? But in the meantime, shall we get the party started? Yes. Lenny agrees. Hit the music.
Brilliant. Thank you, Richie. Still waiting for the music. Yeah. Anyway, while he warms up the crowds.
Can I just say something while it's in my head? Sorry. Just that because you mentioned Sir Lenny Henry, and I just remember that bit about when they did have time for questions for Paul Chuckle and what's his name from McFly. And Paul Chuckle, someone messaged in saying, why aren't you Sir Paul Chuckle yet? And I thought, have you messaged this in?
Now then, Peter says, absolutely wonderful to see the legendary Paul Chuckle on The One Show. Why hasn't he been made Sir Paul Chuckle? Paul and Barry got me so many laughs throughout the years.
Oh, someone messaged that, did they?
Yeah.
I wouldn't like to say why I'm not a sir yet, but I just thought, what a bloody question. That's how I'm going to get my mum to like message in, stuff like that when I'm on the telly.
Services to Chuckle Houndery.
Sir Paul Chuckle. I love that as a question. And then someone from McFly, just someone he was in school with, messaged in a question, just going, all right, mate. All sorry, that was funny. Sorry, that was in my head.
That was
Sir Lenny Henry.
That was.
Philip Shuttleworth from Bromley Cross FC.
No way. Hello, Phil.
Yeah.
You've got lots of bowling for me.
You never know. You never
That's
know.
That's amazing.
And there was another bit as well when JJ got ignored when they were cutting over to Richie at the Commonwealth Games, and he went in, obviously reading it from the autocue, he just went, Richie, who have you got with you? And that question was not answered for a good 5 minutes.
Richie, who have you got with you?
Yes, hello and welcome back to Birmingham. So that what you just saw was the last rehearsal, which was on Sunday, but tonight is the final dress rehearsal. This is the
last. We didn't know who was with him. But when we found out who was with him, the one that stood out for me was Samantha. She was called Samantha, and she was going to be singing the national anthem in front of the worldwide audience of billions of people who would rather be watching the Lionesses.
Yeah.
Right? And she was going to be doing that. And so he was chatting to her, going, well, you're going to be singing the national anthem in front of the world.
Samantha Oxburgh is going to be singing the national anthem in front of millions of people all over the world. Samantha, you look fantastic first and foremost. Secondly, how did you react when you got that call?
Literally cannot believe it, still can't believe it, still feel like I'm living a dream.
And she said, it's done wonders, this, for my career. And he said, well, what's that? And she said, well, I'm a steward as well. I've worked for the security.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be all around Birmingham doing the security. Stop. So brilliantly, she's been plucked from stewarding to sing the national anthem. Why aren't you telling us that story? That's the story, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's a good
that's
story.
The angle here.
Yeah.
Come on.
Do you want to know why they didn't tell you that story, John?
Come on.
Well, I Googled it and it's not actually true. So she is a very much a trained opera singer, but during lockdown, when she couldn't get any work, she retrained. I believe she retrained as a support teacher for children with special needs. And she also began doing a bit of security work. So it was a nice top line, but the most cursory of explanations would have absolutely screwed it. So they kept it to themselves.
I'm surprised they even went there then.
Yeah, there was the dance coordinator who did a little chat as well. And he did something that absolutely boils my piss, which is at the end, he gave a little namaste as he left. And if someone namastes, I immediately go, I will never forget that, and I will never fully trust you.
Are you all right with it at the end of a yoga class? Are you all right with it then?
Absolutely not.
I love when at the end of a yoga class, like I'm not in the pub, but yeah. Like at the end of a yoga class, I'm there for it.
Do you know what? It depends who does it. If it's culturally appropriated, then I think it's no different from doing a black power salute and being like working in middle management. I think it's really off. This all took place in Alexandria.
I don't think that's the same. It's not the same.
I have a nightmare that one day someone says, I need you to go back through all the things you said on the One Show podcast and see if you believe what you said, because I think I'd just be sitting there going, nope, just said it. Nope, just said it. If this all took place in Alexandra Stadium, which I thought would be an excellent name for a new One Show presenter as well.
With Jermaine and Alexandra Stadium.
Yeah, but why were we there? Why were we there listening to people saying, yeah, I've done a really good job on this. Yeah, it's going to be great. Can't show you any of it.
We've got these posters up everywhere. No pictures, no videos. And in fact, I can't even show you the stage. So the stage is just over my shoulder. But we've been told they've got a few secrets that they want to keep. But I can confirm, oh, it's worth it. It's going to be worth the wait.
Because, we zipped around the stadia, didn't we? We were at the Lionesses semi-final and all that stuff. Mm. And Alex Scott, the former England player, was there for the One Show. And again, there was a good ignoring of the question to her when they said, do you want to give us a prediction, said JJ, of what was going to happen that night? And we didn't get that. We just got talk of an umbrella.
Yeah.
That's what we got. Yeah.
Do you want to give us a quick prediction?
I need to get rid of the umbrella. She just had a downpour. You know, me and my afro hair. I can't be having Diana Ross hair in a bit.
I don't remember any of this.
You really did zone out, didn't you?
Yeah, Mark, I've got ADHD. And, like, honestly, I mean, that show has got ADHD. And just, like, tail off and don't listen to questions and don't answer and go off on another. It's literally like me and Tom Price being sat there, John, isn't it? Trying to run a show. Unmedicated.
This all happened in the first 2 minutes of the first episode we watched.
Did it? Yeah, I must have been thinking about something else.
There was a great bit when Alex didn't listen. As you just mentioned, she did not listen to what Daniel was saying, right? Because he said, you're working on it. You've been writing a film for 10 years, she said. And he said, yeah, I have. It's called The Kitchen.
Yeah.
And he explained the premise of this. And he said it's about a sort of father-son relationship and
In a dystopian London,
that's right.
Because I thought it made me feel great that he's been writing that for 10 years. So I was like, oh, I feel so much better about all the things I've been writing for 10 years.
Paul Chuckle did not become a chucklehound until he was 39.
Yeah, it's made my
And he said, Daniel said, it's in his chat, he said, yes, I've been writing it or co-writing it. And it's directed by an amazing director, Kidway Tavares. And I've been working with him and he's directing it. 16 seconds, later, Alex said, so are you going to direct this as well?
Then?
It's a film set in it's a dystopian London about a self-sufficient community called The Kitchen. It's directed by Kidway Tavares, amazing director, and starring Kano, who is an amazing artist, and he's in Top Boy as well. And Jediah Bannerman, he plays the kid in it. It's basically a father-son narrative in dystopian London. But it's out there. It's original.
Are you going to direct this as well?
No, I'm producing it. So I co-wrote it and I produced it. Yeah.
You direct
act in it as well. I'm allowed to do that in Welsh.
No, he's just told you he isn't, Alex.
Yeah, like, literally, that's your job, isn't it, as an interviewer? Like, that's why I'm not an interviewer, because I zone out. I wouldn't if it was Daniel Kaluuya talking, I have to say. But, like, I just, yeah, it's absolutely astonishing. How much does she get paid? Are we allowed to say that?
She does actually have a funny thing as well, where she doesn't have any consistency of character, because, and I don't mean that in a she's got bad character. I mean, like, if she's the role of Alex Jones, she started the show about the Lionesses saying, well, you know, even I'm on board now, finally.
Massive game tonight.
Massive.
For the Lionesses. Big semi-final.
Even no, I'm like, on board now, see, you with are this football.
Fully got you on board, finally.
God. And she spent weeks telling us how exciting it is and how much she enjoys it.
So there's no, where's your character Bible?
Exactly. You don't know what the character of Alex Jones has become very uneven.
That's genius. I think that's another podcast, that. Oh my God. Like Frasier liking white wine more in one series, and then all of a sudden he's always loved red wine more. Like, you've got to keep tabs on that.
Alex Jones, by the way, in 2017 was paid between £400,000 and £449,000.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, what I couldn't do with that.
Jesus. I mean, you know, well done to her. What an absolute liberty, you know. All credit to her. Well done.
Well done.
You've got to take your hat off to the brass balls of that woman's agent. Well done.
At least she's a woman.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Alex Scott was mentioning in the piece when she's talking about the Lionesses, her favourite quote. They were talking about, she was saying, you know, is it a lot of pressure? Are you feeling a lot of pressure, Alex? And she was like, well, you know, I feel less pressure really when I was playing than I do as a fan, she said. But I always, you know, one of my favourite quotes is, pressure is privilege.
Oh, I think they're going to do well, JJ. I can really feel it. Most of it. My favourite quote, pressure is privilege.
And I listened to that and I thought, that's the sort of thing a mad boss would shout at you while you were crying in the office, isn't it? I really wanted her to start going through, like, you know, pain is pleasure, you know, JJ, you know, sorrow is joy. You know, your pain is my ecstasy, like the monsters in Clive Barker's Nightbreed, like a light entertainment hellraiser, just absolutely. But I listened to that, and it is that funny thing where you go, this is why I'm not a sportsman, this is why I'm not Alex Jones, is I listen to something like Pressure is Privilege, and everyone goes, yeah, yeah. And I listen to that and I go, your lives sound appalling. You know, it's, I did find where Pressure is Privilege is from as well. And it was on a website, but it was a website for salespeople and sales managers. They'd done the quote for it.
Of course,
that horrible corporate world.
Oh, wow.
But it's from Billie Jean King, the tennis player's autobiography. And she says, I have a saying, pressure is privilege. Usually if you have tremendous pressure, it's because an opportunity came along. When I was at Centre Court at Wimbledon, I said to myself, all right, you've been dreaming about this moment. Is it a lot of pressure? Yes. But guess what? It's a privilege to be standing here. And I do just listen to that and I just go, oh, it's horrible. Why don't you just go, do you know what's really nice? Being happy. Don't worry about it. Don't stress yourself. You're an adult. You shouldn't be feeling a lot of pressure. You should be happy.
The other bit of Daniel where the dissing came was when JJ said, Well, you know, the Black Panther film, you're in the first one, but it's coming back, isn't it? You're not in it.
One thing I wanted to talk to you about, Daniel, was Black Panther.
Yeah.
It's coming back. The new trailer was released this week.
Yeah, the trailer's amazing.
Unfortunately, you're not going to be a part of the new film because you were filming
I'll just talk about how I couldn't do that due to a clash of scheduling.
What should we talk about? We got these guests on. Right, we'll talk about how one's never been nominated for a Mercury Award, one's not going to be in a new Hollywood film. We'll talk about how Paul Chuckle hasn't got a knighthood. Let's just talk about all the stuff they haven't got.
It really is a one-show trait.
And then we'll go to the Commonwealth and talk about all the stuff that then no one will do any of it. Great. That's called anti-content, that is. Less anti-content.
That was during that interview where Alex did ask the classic question. She said, Jordan Peele calls you his De Niro. How does that make you feel?
Now, the director, Jordan Peele, you've worked with him before. He calls you his De Niro.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any greater praise, potentially? I mean, how does that make you feel?
She said, that's a real question. He told a little anecdote about being a runner in TV as well.
I loved that.
Yeah, about when he worked on Easy TV in Kentish Town.
Yeah.
I have a basic thing where if you're telling an anecdote, put as much incidental detail in as possible. And naming locations is my number one tip for anecdotes I want to hear.
I was once a runner at a shopping channel. Called Easy TV.
Yeah.
And it was in Kentish Town. And I showed up on the first day because I did work experience at Barclays Bank. Yeah. So then I, like, obviously suited and booted. So I showed up as a runner in a suit. And everyone was just like,
in jeans and a t-shirt.
What are you doing? And they were like, give me a coffee. Hurry up. Give me this. Give me that.
Exactly.
Look at where
Take
you
it professional.
No, flamboyant. No, yeah, give me exactly. a different kind it of fabric. I don't know what kind of fabric.
It paid off, Daniel.
Marks and Spencer suit as well, man. Pick up Marks and Spencer.
I can't imagine like people sitting at home who aren't part of the television business really understand what's going on. You just go, well, you do, don't you? Oh, do you not have to wear a suit? Oh, right. And everyone was really laughing about it.
I think people... No, but I might have a counterpoint there. I feel like everybody's used to seeing crew. So like everybody knows, even if you're not in the industry, what a runner like who makes the tea and stuff does. So why I thought it worked is because, and especially when he said the suit was from M&S as well. So
it was a good plugging, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think that is translatable because there are certain jobs that everybody has an awareness what you look like for that job. Everyone knows you're in a headset, you're running around, you're making tea, you're doing stuff for everybody. So just the word runner means you're running about the place and don't wear a suit if you're doing that.
Beth, in fairness, last time we worked together, we had a runner and you slapped him because he wasn't wearing a suit. So you made him run back to his house, which was in Stortford. See, always got to put a little bit of detail in about the place.
Was there no cream in my coffee, though? I would have sent someone back.
But yeah, look, I mean, I do think it's worth saying that these were two of the worst shows I've ever seen in my life. I don't even mean that as a joke. It was just the hardest Rough. Thing is when you're watching it and you're just going, this is such thin gruel that it's going to be very difficult to fill an hour of decent people's time talking shit about it. And I feel bad for everyone. I feel bad for everyone having to listen to this show because what they gave us was so bad.
They switched off ages ago, Mark.
We had nothing. We are fighting with no material here ourselves. And one of the shows was only 23 minutes long.
Yeah,
23 minutes, one of them. Amazing. Not even half an hour. It's like they've just given up.
Well, and it was summer holidays, isn't it? Because they were like, at the end of the last one that we watched, they're just like, well, we're gone. We'll be back in a month.
What? It was. It definitely had a feeling of winding down for the summer.
It's that board game day.
Just before you're going to go on holiday, and you think, I could do some stuff, but I'm on holiday in 2 days. So I might just kick it in the long grass till I get back, you know, and just sort of not be
Those
bothered.
Those teachers that made you do work on the last day, psychopaths. So we all checked out. Like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, and there was a very desperate bit. And again, just for exactly that reason. So not only had the watchdog section run out of steam because of all we've talked about already, and have you got anything else for us? No, she said, just no, nothing. But then she said, oh, no, wait, a viewer's got in touch because she's got a fine for driving her car in a clear air zone in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And she got fined because she didn't see the sign. And so she doesn't think the signs are visible.
The clean air zone is an £8 payment system for high polluting cars in Birmingham city centre. It came into operation in June last year. But the question is, are the signs that warn drivers they're entering the zone clear enough? Angela, she thinks not.
They showed us a photograph of the sign. It was a perfectly visible sign.
Yeah.
Now, admittedly, there weren't any details about fines on it, but, you know, it was there. So there wasn't really a story there either.
John, ignorance of the law is no defence, right? No. I wasn't aware that I couldn't spit at judges. Well, you know what? Too bad. You can't, right? You're going to prison for common assault. Right.
I once, when I lived in Enfield, right, there was a site, because I really tuned into that bit, because when I lived in this part of Enfield and there was a no right turn sign, but I thought it was referring to the next part of the road, but it was referring to somewhere where I obviously didn't see it, didn't think it applied to where I was turning right. My car was still registered at my parents' house at the time because I just, whatever. And my parents were away and they came back to all these letters. Guess how much I owed Enfield Council every day I was turning right there on my way home from work.
Oh,
every
God.
Day.
God.
I owed them £1,236. I nearly died. So I went to see my local MP and he was like, oh, and he was a Tory. Mm-hmm. David Burrows at the time. And he went, oh, yeah, he went, I know, he went, my wife does that all the time, turns right there because the sign isn't clear. I went, right, well, shall we do something about this then? Because anyway, I wrote to them, I pleaded with them, I got it down to like £800 and then I just paid it monthly. It
was
no. So I did, because it's purposely unclear. Councils need to raise money and they find different ways of fining you. And they are purposely unclear because they just are. But yeah, that was one of the worst things of my life. So I was triggered.
Yeah, not surprised. That's a lot of money on a right turn.
I'm very proud to live within walking distance of the yellow grid system, the box that you can't stop in between traffic lights that brings in more money than any other traffic thing. Over £1 million a year on the Archway Road.
I think I've chipped in for that one.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Who hasn't?
And I was like, what? No, this definitely didn't happen. You know, and you go, send me a picture. So it's like on the roller coaster when you see the picture of yourself and you're like, oh, yeah, that was me. And I'm trying the Archway. So it's like, just buy myself some time. Can I see the evidence? Yeah, that's me. Have we got a frame for this? Because I'm paying a lot for this picture. So
in the 80s, when you'd go into London, you'd come back and you'd go, we went to a Garfunkels, and now when you come out, you go, yeah, we got hit £80 at the Archway Gyratory.
So we couldn't have
the
dinner.
Slow decline in everyone's enjoyment and living standards continues apace.
Yeah. And somehow that feels like a fitting metaphor on which to end.
It does. That's a lovely end.
Because it really has. These two episodes just, you know, almost but not quite have sucked the joy out of even doing this podcast.
They absolutely
it's like,
fucked
what
us.
Were
they?
They
fucked us over on this because they put out two shows that are so bad, but now they're not doing any more. These two episodes will be at the top of our podcast feed. And people who discover it will listen to that top one and they'll just go, oh, it's not very good, is it? They don't. That's not our fault. That's the fucking show. And if they've done it on purpose, if they have self-sabotaged their own shows to sabotage this one, hats off to them. Hats off.
Yeah.
The best thing they've done is it's really well played. Really well played. Because this show was so boring, I started a new game, right? And I thought to myself, if I could guess one of your jokes, you have to pay me £50, right? So before the show started, I recorded what I thought the joke that you would use during this show would be. All right?
Yes.
So are you ready to hear what
I'm ready to hear it, yeah.
The time is now 4:23. It's 7 minutes before we've begun the recording. And I am laying £50 that John will make a joke regarding the Queen's baton and Prince William's bottom.
Bad luck me. John, I owe you £50. Apologies.
Yes, you do. I mean, it hurts that you thought I'd even do that, frankly. Which is what I believe Prince William said to that woman.
Does that count as you making that joke? Have I won my £50 back?
All right, we'll call it even.
I genuinely thought you'd do at least 23 minutes on the various sort of variations of that joke.
Non-consensual bets.
Yeah, that's right. I think I'm now triggered, frankly. I think that's not a thing. And there, stop right now. Thank you very much. Now, the One Show, as we've mentioned, is off for its summer break, and so then are we. But we'll be back at the end of August, a couple of weeks before we take to the stage with this show live for the London Podcast Festival. Mark, myself, special guests, TBA, will be doing the One Show show live on September the 16th, and you can get details and tickets at kingsplace.co.uk. But while you're remembering to book tickets to that, also remember this and remember it well. When you look at the television to look at the One Show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.